Rupa Goswami is Upadeshamrita. Upadesh means instruction, and Amrita means nectar. So the nectar of instruction, the essence of Krishna consciousness. Vedic literature is a very vast.
Or summarizing for us what all of some gentlemen, this
just outside here. That's the essence of the book in one verse. But it doesn't stop there. Then he unpackages, well, what is the result of that chanting? When they're chanting Sukirtana, in that sense. This is a different type of kirtan. He talks about Sukirtan. So we're all used to saying Sankirtan and Kirtan. So he says Sukirtana. So the word su implies that it's devoid of offense. No, offenseless kirtan. So when chanting is offenseless, then remembering name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes, they come spontaneously without effort, one after the other. And then so is a certain desire or awakening of attaining service. Then he says, well, if you want to attain service to Krishna, then better than the service which is rendered in Vaikuntha is that which is in the Torah. Better than the Torah is that in Vrindavan. Better than Vrindavan is Govardhan. And the best is a certain type of service that's rendered at Radhakunta. And then he glorifies in the last two verses both Radhakunta as well as ultimately the devotees who engages in service of the many objects of favorite delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajamuni, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine Kund is described by great sages as similar to dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. And Rabbi Sahib may have turned the heating on to 95, so I don't mind if you turn it down to 92.
It's a bit hot.
It's getting there. But everything, one step at a time. And is it at 95?
21.
Huh? 81. 80
something.
Oh. Something moderate. And although certainly everything has its time and place, but you always need to know what the time and place is. And for that, they should recognize what their own qualification is for devotional service. When you're looking for a job, or when they're advertising a job at some unemployment, then they say, qualification required. They say, what qualification is required for this employment? Do you need a university diploma? If so, is it engineering degree? Is it an arts degree? Is simply college enough? Is high school enough? What kind of diploma do you need? What is the qualification? Everything requires a certain qualification. But there's a general qualification for everything, and that is the first one needs to actually become free from the bodily conception of life. Whatever type of devotional service one aspires to practice, whether it's like the inhabitants of Vaikuntha or anywhere, as long as one identifies with this body, it doesn't have a qualification. So spiritual life really matures or begins or really picks up steam when one is both conscious of his spiritual identity in a general sense and ultimately when one is actually free. And the first verse talks about Vajra Vedam Manasakura, these Vedam, these pushings of the senses. And how does one control, or how does one gain mastery over the senses? Well, scripture says yama and niyama. You do some things and you avoid other things. These are always the two things that you find. Do this, but don't do that. Education is like that. It's the same way that parents educate their children, or what we learn in school, or what laws of a country are all about. You're given certain things that you can do and certain things that you can't do, and the activities that you can't do are framed within what you can't do. You can do all of these things so long as you don't get into the negative territory. So here we talk about tat minasyati. Talk about those things that are destructive, what you can do. He frames what you can do first, and then he talks about those things that you can do. And that's what the 3 and 4 will be. For devotees who want detailed instructions, Srila Prabhupada gives lengthy purports. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote this book, Bhakti Loka, which is about the first 4 or 5 verses, at the most, maybe 6 at the most. And it's a whole book just done in 6 verses. And they're very, very enlightening, very interesting. And it's also interesting that he only went that far. And that's why you see, in other words, he went, if you understand that you're not this body, the other stuff will come by chanting Hare Krishna. And that's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much these two things. You're not this body, and chant Hare Krishna. And what about all of the other things that Rupa Goswami gives here in the book? You should know about them, but if you're chanting free from offense, and you're free from the bodily concept of life, will come from the holy name. Krishna's holy name will reveal those things. That it will naturally come. That is Lord Chaitanya's line, or the teachings that come in the line of Sri Chaitanya. Well, let's read these verses together. And, if you have questions, then we can go along with them. Atyahara Prayasascha
Atyahara Prayasascha
Jato Niyamagraha
Jato Niyamagraha
Jana Sangas Chaloyamcha
Jana Sangas Chaloyamcha
Shafir Bhakti Vinashati
Shafir Bhakti Vinashati.
Once devotional service is spoiled, now he's talking about what you can do. You go beyond, you get into this area, then you're going to spoil your spiritual life. Once devotional service is spoiled, when he becomes too entangled in the following 6 activities, eating more than necessary, or collecting more funds than required, or endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6, being greedy for mundane achievements. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. So Krishna says, Yuktahara Viharasya, this principle of moderation. One should be moderate. Eating, sleeping, recreation. In Buddhism it's called the middle path. You don't go too much this way, you don't go too much that way. And whatever you do, it should be Yukta Vairagya. You should be able to engage everything in Krishna's service, whatever you're performing. If you can't, then it's too much. And over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. The whole idea is that we're trying to progress towards a spiritual goal, going back home, back to Godhead, which means we want to get out of this material world. We don't want to stay in the material world. So one needs to be very careful that living in this world is also very, very entangling. It's not an easy thing to be here. Still, one should try to live by the minimum needs of life. Otherwise, in the process of maintaining one's body, or what Prabhupada would say, keeping body and so forth, if one becomes too entangled, then one loses sight of the goal. So you can only focus your attention on so many things. So if you're focused on where you want to go on Krishna, and simultaneously as a secondary activity, you're maintaining your body, family, home, and so on, then that's fine. But if maintaining body, family, and home become the main focus, then you lose your attention. We're already here for a long time in this material world because we've already become distracted. So over-endeavoring means that too much attention, too much focus on that. And that's why generally Brahminical culture would mean voluntarily embracing austerity, voluntarily renouncing, keeping things really to a minimum. And not only Brahminical culture, but generally Vaishnava culture. Well, Krishna describes like that in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that Hare Krishna. Anyway, that one only strives for the bare necessities of life. Just like that. That's better. It's safer. Safer on the safe side to have less than to have more. And very few people have more in this world, but a lot of people strive to have more. So like our modern society, a credit card society, where people by the time they're 25 or 30 are in so much debt that it takes the rest of their life to pay it off, except for the fact that they don't pay it off. So they're living beyond their means, and in order to live beyond their means, they have to work more than necessary. They have to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day under conditions where they have to travel 1-2 hours a day to their place of employment, and they're constantly under so much stress that even their free time is no longer free because they're a slave of their mind and senses. So over-endeavoring is something that should be avoided for Vaishnavas. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matter. Prabhupada's terminology is very nice. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject, which means you have to talk about mundane subject. So, if you're working out there, you're talking about mundane things, you want to build that house, you have to talk to builders and engineers and architects about mundane things. If you want to install a fan, or what do they call it, fan generator, or turbine. If you want to install a turbine, you have to talk about mundane things, you have to research it, you have to get into it. But here it says, unnecessary. Unnecessary means that don't do it if it's not necessary, only if it's really necessary. So which means it shouldn't be too much, and it should only be when required. Which means that it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable that we're living in the material world, even just preaching to people, even when we meet people who are new to Krishna consciousness, to build a bridge with them, you often have to talk about ordinary things. But that's all right, as long as you know the bridge is that you're on this side and you're building a bridge so they can come from that side to here, not so that you can go from here to there. So the idea is not unnecessary. And inevitably, we have to do like that once again. The principle of Yukta Vairagya, which if you look it up in folio, Srila Prabhupada really describes Yukta Vairagya in many places, from many different perspectives, sort of like the main tool or the glasses through which devotees have to live life and see the world that they're in. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of the spiritual advancement. So this is one aspect, that people follow the rules, but no longer for the sake of spiritual advancement. It's called being a ritualist. You do things, but don't really know why you do them. And one thing is you don't know why you do them, but you're not even doing it for the sake of advancing in spiritual life. So this is called smarta. Smarta means those people who are very much attached to smriti. They're attached to the rules, not the purpose of the rules. The purpose of the rules is to advance in spiritual life. spiritual life isn't just about following rules and regulations. So what is the purpose of rules? Smartavam Sattkam Vishnu. The purpose of rules is to actually advance and always remember Krishna. But if by following those rules you're not remembering Krishna, something's wrong. So he says, don't just follow the rules just for the sake of the rules. Follow the rules for making spiritual advancement. That should be the motivation. But don't reject the rules as well. Don't think that, well, I'm thinking about Krishna, therefore I don't need to follow any rules. No, you need to do both. So even those who are therefore very advanced in Krishna consciousness, they still follow the rules in order to set the example. Or rejecting the rules and regulations and working independently or whimsically. Krishna says, Shastra Vidimusti Javata Vikama Kavata. People who reject the scripture, Nasasitim, they can't attain perfection. Nasukam, they can't be happy. So there's no question of rejecting rules when one becomes that advanced in spiritual life. In fact, we see that the more advanced Vaishnavas are, the more they revere the principles of Krishna consciousness. Why? Because of Krishna's words. And anything to do with Krishna, Vaishnavas are very, very attached to it, value greatly. So for instance, it's described in Chaitanya how Rupa Goswami's attachment to the regulations of Krishna consciousness were like lines in a stone. If you have a stone, you got some marks in the stone, you just can't take an eraser and erase it. The stone is a stone, so it's there, very, very solid. So his attachment to his vows of regulated devotional service was very determined. Associating with worldly-minded people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. There are very, very many statements, and sometimes very extreme statements in scriptures about someone who, if he's serious about spiritual life, about associating with materialistic people. Like if you see a materialist, then you're supposed to jump into the Ganges, clothes on and everything. So that doesn't fit. But we'd all be swimming in the Clyde all the time. And it's not even the Ganges. So there needs to be a proper understanding of what does it mean not to associate with worldly-minded people, because we're constantly surrounded by them. We're going out to meet them every day, ask them to support our activities. We try to give them Krishna consciousness. So association is more a behavior, a state of consciousness, rather than actually physical proximity, although physical proximity certainly represents that. And it really means wanting or being dependent on others. Srimad Bhagavatam talks like that. The duration of one's life becomes diminished when one becomes over-dependent on materialistic people. So if we're associating with others and for getting something from them, I think that I need something from a person. Materialistic people, a Vaishnava gives association to, but is not accepting or taking association from them. Either their advice, either talking about spiritual values and personal direction. We take advice from sadhu, shastra, guru. On some particular thing, you want to install a turbine, that you may not find any instructions in Bhagavad Gita about it. You need to find a specialist who knows that. So you get advice from an engineer and you have them do it for you. But when it comes to here, we're talking about spiritual advice, then one does not become dependent on materialistic people or seek out their association unnecessarily and being greedy for mundane achievements. Naturally, in the course of spiritual life, opulence comes. Now, opulence comes as a consequence of practicing devotional service, because we're chanting Hare Krishna, so we're calling on Srimati Radharani. She is the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, and calling on Krishna, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. So together, when they're present, then so much wealth comes. But here it says that we shouldn't be greedy for mundane achievements. We should not try to become the possessor. Prabhupada makes many statements to that effect. That we should not become the owner or think that we have any specific right over the results of devotional service. But once again, everything should be used in Krishna consciousness. And greedy for mundane achievement, the idea is that we should try to glorify Krishna. And that needs to be the compass of our activities, not results measurable by mundane barometer, like how much wealth and how much other things we attain. What's pleasing to Krishna? Raghunath Das Goswami was just, he wasn't living in a hut, he didn't have a hut, he was living outside, and he just ate every second day. On the other hand, Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a great king. Actually, Srila Prabhupada compares Maharaj Pratap Rudra, or Ramananda Roy and Sanatana Goswami, said that they were both on the same level. Ramananda Roy was a king, a sub-king, but he was a king, very wealthy, lived comfortably. Sanatana Goswami was a renunciant. At least according to the dictionary, there's no word in the dictionary of renunciate. And there probably was. It's sort of a modern spelling. But neither of them were interested in accumulating anything for their personal benefit, but rather in serving Krishna. And each one of them had a different type of service. One service was to be well off, the other service is to be materially impoverished. But both of them within were actually very wealthy spiritually. So then there's no possibility of greed to come up. So here this whole concept of greed is being discouraged, because Krishna says, that's one of the three gates leading to